process of faith. I've been on my line and on social media, and I've been saying J5, and for those who are Greek in the house, all these fraternities. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. The AKAs trying to show out today, and the Deltas, the Kappas, Sigmas, and Qs. And for those of you, you know, who went to college, you know there's a process to becoming Greek. And I was on a group chat with my guys that I crossed with, and they began to talk about all the stories that when we were crossing. I'll leave them for what they were. But I kind of got mad because I didn't go through the process too well. In some moments, I cowered out. I think I played sick one night, so I didn't have to go. And at some moments, I just didn't go through well. But the process of faith, because God doesn't do things overnight, does not have to be miserable. You can enjoy every day of your life, even though you don't have everything you think you should have. Look at your neighbor and say, every day is a gift from God. Through this process of faith, I'm going to show you how to use scripture for salvation, to show you how the process of faith works for you to produce the promise of God. Danielle, while I was studying this, the whole time last night, the Lord had your face in front of me. And at a certain point, I'm going to pray over you, because I believe you're going to be a seed for the millennials in this generation to what we're going to see God do. So what I speak to her at by the end of my conversation, it's going to be to everyone who will receive it. All right? Go to my first slide here. What I'm going to tell you is going to be so simple. You'd be like, I could have came up with that. You probably could have. But here's the reality. It works. And I'm going to show you how the process of faith works. Faith starts by hearing. Touch your ears. Faith next goes to believing. Lay your hand on your heart. Faith then transitions to your mouth. Lay your hands on your mouth. And then faith is doing. Lift your hands. So faith starts by hearing the word of God, believing the word of God in your heart, speaking the word of God out of your mouth, and doing the word of God with your life. Yeah. So what are the four parts of faith? It is what?
Hearing, believing, speaking.
So this whole week, when things happen, you're going to grab your ears. I need a word from God. Word. When you done heard it and life gets funny, lay your hand on your, they're like, you doing a Pledge of Allegiance? No, I ain't doing all that. I'm believing the word of God. And you're going to speak out of your mouth what God is saying, and you're going to do what God's called you to do. Let's start with the first process. Here, it's called hearing. Romans 10:17. I'm going to use a scripture that people use to when you get saved. It's confess with your mouth and believe your heart the Lord Jesus so you'll be saved. But I'm going to use the principle from this to show you how the process of faith works. Hebrews 10:17, New American Standard Version is on the screen. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The introduction to faith or fear in your life comes from what you hear. Fear starts from what you hear. You can hear a rumbling on the on your job. They're about to lay off. You receive that, and now all of a sudden, you done sent out 10 resumes just based off what you heard. Not what you know, but what you heard. You home by yourself. Now, I'm in this church a lot by myself, so I hear a whole lot of noises going on. It got so bad one day, I walked outside and measured the length from my window to the ground to see if I can make it out there in case something happened. You at home alone and you hear something and you go looking for your gun. I feel this is the gun section right here. This right here, I just feel it all in this section. You heard something and it arose fear inside of you. Faith works the same way. You got to hear it, but you got to hear the word of God. And once you hear it, you exercise it. The word, because faith is a muscle. Somebody say, faith is a muscle.
Faith is a muscle.
And the strength of your muscle is determined by how much you work it. Faith is not a feeling. Faith, you get in faith by the word of God. You got my dumbbells right beside you right here. Anybody work out in here?
Yeah.
Work out? All right. Sam, when you work out, you do the same, probably 4 sets of 10, 3 sets. What do you do with arm curls? You do arm curls? What do you do, 4 sets of 10 maybe? Same weight. The weight change each day? Every other day, yeah, he probably like 75 pounds. Here, you take it, knock me out. Same weight. Ain't nothing pretty about this weight. Nothing glorious about this weight. But the more you work it, 4 sets of 10, the bigger this muscle gets. Faith is the same way. You don't realize that the reason you worry so much is because you work the problem. You got to work the solution. It ain't pretty. You're not going to feel nothing, but you're going to see the results. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? They found something in my body He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity. Chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. I begin to work that, and my faith muscle gets big. I learned this the hard way. Anybody made mistakes in your life in here? Lift my hands, everybody in here. Barbara and I, second house that we bought, we had a townhouse in Laverne. We found a house she was expecting. Want a bigger house. We signed a contract on a house in Antioch, King Ridge. But I made a mistake. I didn't sign the contract contingent on upon me selling my townhouse. I'm in a mess. I don't want to pay two notes in 1 month. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me out. God's word will cover your mistakes too. It don't work just when life is perfect. I'm a living witness. I got a hold of Psalms 37, 3 through 6, and it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and verily shall you be fed. And I researched what it means to dwell in the land. It says God wants you to buy property and establish yourself. So it is the will of God for me to buy a house. And it says, delight yourself in him and he will give you the desire of your heart. God, I delight myself in you by trusting you and getting in faith. And I believe that you're going to sell this house and we're going to close on this house and I'm never going to have to pay two notes in 1 month. And it said, commit your way into him, trust him, and he will bring it to pass. I worked that muscle. Do you not know we didn't pay 1 month when we had two notes? God covers mistakes. Now, I cut a good op every morning. Lord, I done made a mistake. How in the world am I going to do this? I done went to work crazy. I'd have been looking at her crazy. You the one got us in this stuff in the first place. I wanted to stay in this house. Married couples know exactly what I'm talking about. I didn't want to stay in that house. I was blaming that on her. But instead, I worked the word. God, you're going to bring this to pass. And guess what? My muscle was built. Here's what you got to do in life. When life comes at you, work the word. Yeah. And you walk out like Satan, I wish you would. Because I have built my muscle. And when he comes at you, I already have built up. And watch this. If you're not built up, the word will work all by itself.
Yes, it will.
That you just declare that thing over your life. So faith first comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
Word.
Now let me give you the avenues you hear the word of God. Through me preaching. Through a podcast. Somebody teaching. You get the word through a song. Have you not noticed? That song is beautiful. I love that. I love both of those songs. But the last song they sung, Lord, I look to you. You notice the words of that never change. They sing the same words every time they sing it. But it has a different impact based off where you are in life. So that's what you got to do. You got to hear the sung word, the taught word, a word through movie. I love Facing the Giants. Tremendous movie. I love watching Courageous. I love watching Fireproof. Movies that are going to build your faith. You haven't been sitting in a movie and some of y'all singing Hidden Figures? And you saw those ladies and it inspired you, tears in your eyes. Because something inside of you, your faith was being built that I can do that. I can overcome any obstacle. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor in Jesus' name. But you got to hear the right thing. The next thing is this. Next slide. After I hear it, I got to believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Romans 10 says this. For with the heart a person believes. So where do I believe? Come on. Good class. Where do I believe? I hear it with my ear, but I believe it with my heart. I don't believe it in my mind. I believe it in my heart, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. So after I get it in my heart, I speak it with my mouth. For the scripture says, whoever believes will not be disappointed or put to shame. Man, if them mics didn't cost so much, I'd just walk off the stage and drop it right there. That shut down the thing right there. If I believe God, I will never be put to shame. So some of us, the reason why we won't speak and believe what God has given us, because you're afraid you're going to look like a fool.
Well,
God said, I'm going to do something in your life. He said, I ain't saying that. Other people said that and it didn't work. No, when God tells you something and you believe it, you will not be put to shame. God said, put my word to the test and speak it in Jesus' name. So hearing is the way the word gets to my heart. And you want the word, which is truth, to get in your heart because facts speak. You know the fact. Faith doesn't ignore facts. There probably is something going on in your body. There may be something in your marriage. There may be something on your job. But your facts don't change the word of God. But if I believe the word of God, it would change the facts in my life. Let me show you what Satan does as soon as you hear truth. He sends all his little workers to discredit what you believe. All the reasons why you shouldn't believe that, such and so in your life, they had that and died. Ain't no marriage ever worked out in your family. Ain't nobody look like us gonna ever be able to do that. And all these little things bombarding your mind, and the next thing you know, you mad about something that ain't never happened.
Well,
y'all never been there before. You're having these conversations in your head, and Satan done talked you out of what God's trying to talk you into. But you got to decide, what do I believe? And once the seed of faith is planted in your heart is the production center of your life. And whatever you get in your heart is going to be produced. Watch this. Whoever gets your ear is going to eventually get your heart. Whatever you entertain, it's going to get in your heart, and it's going to start shaping your direction. So the last thing you need to be listening to is some crazy person that's going to derail your destiny. You better, even if, I don't care if you don't get it right now, fill your ear with what God says. And that stuff's going to get in your heart, and your heart's going to convince you. Anybody have one of those old school parents that could threaten you from across the room and you straighten up? My mama used to sit in the choir stand. I grew up in Shepherdville at Bryce Temple, and we'd be cutting up. My mama'd be in the choir stand with them old beige choir robes, and she'd see us cutting up, and she would say, she whispering, and it sounded like, I'm going to get you out of the service, but she whispering. Woo, that ruined my whole service. I didn't want to do nothing but go home and just take a nap. You know how you just want to sleep it off? And she would get us at the church. She said, Jason, I'm going to make a believer out of you.
Yeah.
Oh, when I heard that, something just jumped off through you. Because I know she wasn't playing. Can I tell you, that's the same thing God's saying to you. I'm going to make a believer out of you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to drive you crazy. But if you keep believing my word, I'm going to make a believer out of you that I'm not a man that I should lie. If I said it, I'm going to bring it to pass. Just trust me, and I'm going to do it. Let your neighbor say, God's trying to make a believer out of you. Ain't that amazing? I hate to be questioned. Anybody hate for somebody to say, come on, for real? And you got to prove yourself to somebody. You want to get under my skin? Question what I say. Oh, no, no, you're going to question me? God is so God. He ain't bothered by your questions. He done created the world. He done worked out stuff that you done jacked up beyond measure. And we sit back and say, God, you sure? God's not even bothered by us questioning him. Because he's God and nothing's going to change him. He said, trust me, I'm going to make a believer out of you. Three aspects of believing. You got to believe the right information. Believing the wrong information. If you believe a lie, you'll live a lie. You believe a lie, you'll live a lie. Some of us don't believe lies about relationships. You believe lies about God. You believe lies about yourself. You believe lies about other people. And as a result, you size everybody up by this lie. And you're wondering why it's not working. Can I tell you the difference between a lie and a truth? A lie always shows up quicker than the truth because a lie don't have feet to stand on. But the truth got feet. And when it gets there, it ain't going nowhere. But a lie just floats around, but it has no ground to stand on. Truth may take its time in getting there, but when it gets there, buddy, I tell you what, it is not going to leave. So you got to believe the right information, and you can't have faith in nothing. You got to trust something. You got to get something that you trust, and believing eliminates all options and puts total trust in the one you believe. So faith starts by what? I hear it, then I believe it in my heart, then what am I going to do? I'm going to speak it with my mouth. Speaking the word of God from your heart is when you confess what you want, not what you see. Faith does not tell it like it is. You have many people say, I just tell it like it is. That ain't faith. Now, when you go to the doctor, you need to tell it like it is. You need to tell the doctor exactly how long your symptoms have been going on, exactly what's going on with you. When you go to the mechanic, you need to tell the mechanic, this is how long this light's been on, this is how long I hadn't had an oil change. You need to tell them exactly how it is. Now, you would get mad at the doctor if he looked back at you and said, you a mess. I knew that before I walked in here. Because you're expecting the doctor to do some work. In your situation, you become the doctor. And you speak faith. You speak what you want, not what you see. I can always tell when a person believes it because their speech changes. Because when it gets in your heart, all that mess, all that murmuring, it'll happen for everybody but me. You can't just hear faith all the time and then just confess stupid stuff. Anybody tired of dumb stuff? Anybody in 2017, you said later for the dumb stuff. If you want to cry and complain, I'm going to throw you a party and let you attend by yourself. But you want to see this thing work through? I know the facts, but let's talk about the truth. Yeah, your situation is messed up, but my God shall supply all of your need. There you go, that Bible stuff. I'm dealing in reality. I'm dealing with reality too. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, I got bills, but I got a Savior. You all right in here? I can always tell when you got it because your speech changes. I'm not saying you don't ignore the fact that you have problems, but you don't confess your problems. Lord, these bills coming in, I ain't got, but I'm about $200 short. Father, I thank you that you're going to take care of me. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm going to trust that you're going to supply all of my needs. And that preacher done read a scripture that's on the stage, on the screen that says, I will not be put to shame. God, you're not going to have me sitting in the dark, nor you're going to have me sitting on the side of the road. I'm not going to be jobless, nor am I going to be homeless. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to make myself the most promotable person. I'm going to make myself having the best attitude of anybody I ever seen. And they're going to ask me, how's it going to work? I have no idea. But that preacher read a scripture that said, God said, I will not be put to shame. I don't care what's going on with my kids. I don't care what's going on in my life. That man read that scripture that said, my God said, I shall not be put to shame. Somebody say it. I will not be put to shame. I will not look like a fool. God is going to cover me. Look to heaven and say, God, cover me, cover me, cover me. I'm dealing with somebody right now. You're wondering, how is it going to work out? I'm telling you right now, God got you covered. And as long as God got your back, everything is going to be. Watch out now. All right. I feel that Baptist preacher coming out. Can I get one witness here? Ooh, if I had my breath, I'd tell you, lean on your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's all right now. I know you've been worried. I know you've been crying. But I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Yeah. Somebody's been worried to say it's all right now. It's all right now. I've been worried, but it's all right now. Yeah. Shamika? Shamika, it's all right. Shamika, it's all right. Shamika, it's all right. Shamika, hear me, it's all right. Today is your day of release. In front of all these people, we're going to throw you a party and eulogize your problems and tell you it's all right now. Can we praise God for her? All right. Now, y'all do me a favor. Hold that right there. We're going to get right back to that. But let me tell you how it's going to work. I got to believe it. I got to hear it. Believe it. Then I got to speak it. Two things happen. Shamika, this is really going to help you out right here. You'll never speak what you don't believe you should have. So Satan wants to convince you you're not saved. You can't get this. You can't get that. So if you don't believe that you should have it, you'll never say it. And here's a rule in life. You'll never get what you don't ask for. Married couples ought to testify that you cannot read your spouse's mind. I only know what you tell me. The thing with God is you'll never get it until you speak it. So you got to learn how to speak it. And watch this. Satan will convince you that you can't ask for it. You done cut up all last week. God ain't going to hear you. Yes, he will if I repent and get in right standing with him. Yeah. I got a buddy who's an NFL agent. Let me tell you how the world works. He's an NFL agent. He said, my guys, as soon as I sign them, he said, one of the first things they got to buy is a good mattress. A good mattress? Don't they need cleats? Car? Rims? No. A good mattress. Why in the world do they need a good mattress? Their body's going to be taking so many hits that if they don't have a good night's sleep, their body can't recuperate. So we got to invest in them. So how much they pay for a mattress? Oh, probably a couple $1,000. Oh, no. I've been a little mattress alley. You can get one about $300, $400. Y'all waking up like this. Can't move your right arm. It's just dangling. Just no reason. And I thought about Cigna. You know what Cigna would do when we would travel? Give me a $75 a day per diem. Ooh, for one person? I ate at restaurants I would never ate in before then. I didn't stay in the hotel when you open up, you walk outside. I'm going to talk to this side right here. I wasn't worried about who going to be knocking at my door because they could have walked out the street. You got $5. We didn't stay there. With no shady business going on there. I stayed in place. When I looked out my window, I saw the skyline of the city.
Well,
they bought me the best computer. We didn't drive wherever we went. We flew. And they paid for my flight. And I wasn't worried about how. They gave me a credit card. Trusted me with their money. And God said, Jason, if NFL players can get a mattress to take care of their body, if Cigna had enough sense, do you know why they put that much money in you? Because when you go and present their data to their client, they wanted you to have the best night's sleep. They wanted you to sit in the nicest of atmosphere. And you didn't feel no kind of way about swiping that card and eating it at Ruth Chris. God is the same way. You are doing his business. And there is no sense of you doing his business living cheap and less than. So you tell God, God, this thing is in my heart. And I want to do a good work for you, but I can't do a good work for you if I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. So I open my mouth and speak it because I'm about my Father's business. Here's the reason why you are condemned. Because the world, and you heard this prosperity stuff, that folks got these 22s on little Yugos. And they put $100,000 in their mouth just to sleep all day. And if your idea of making it is I'm going to go to work when I want to, get up when I want to, go in when I want to, and ain't nobody going to tell me nothing, you will make it about a year or two, and you'll be back in the same position. When you understand you about your Father's business and that I have a call to fill and a duty to keep and I'm on purpose with God, I feel no kind of way speaking. Let me show you this in Scripture. Go to my next slide here so y'all won't think I'm making this up. Let me read this to you. It's a little small on the screen. 1 John 3:19. It says, we will know by this that we are the truth. Many of us are worried, God, is what in my heart the truth? And it says, and we'll assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. So if your heart is condemning you, God's going to give you the truth of how to overcome your heart. Verse 21 says this, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. You could be sitting in this place. Can we keep it 100 here? And you got something going on in your body that you brought on your body. And Satan will tell you God will never heal you of that because you did that. Your credit is messed up because you didn't pay your bills. You did this, and you got your marriage in this situation. You got yourself in this situation. When you move out of condemnation and realize this is not how I'm supposed to live, you created me for more than this. I don't care how I got it, but if I can have it, you can heal it. If I can break it, you can fix it because there's nothing outside of your reach. And you begin to confess that out of your mouth. Why? Because my heart believes it and my mouth speaks it. Anybody have a job you hated before? Whew. Let me just stop right there. I had one, and I would call my mama about it. Mama would tell me, Jason, why don't you just get up and praise God? She probably tired of me calling her every morning and fussing about it. Barbara would say, Jason, this is what's going to make you. This is your defining moment. I ain't got time for no Martin Luther King inspirational speeches right now. I don't like this job. You know when you're going through, you ain't got time for them little speeches. Everybody talking about this word, I'm mad. She giving them I have a dream speeches and all that stuff. Daddy, he look different. Boy, you know you got bills. Yep, and they go that work, go that job. You think I like my job? No, I had to feed y'all. I'm gonna go in there because I was happy. I'm going there because y'all gonna be looking at me. I needed all three of them. They did. He was like, you know, he laughing up, telling the truth. And I got a hold of this book by Kate McVeigh, and it talked about the favor of God. And I read in Psalms 105, it says, God, you'll bless the righteous. No, it's Psalms chapter 5. In verse 12, it said, Lord, you'll bless the righteous, and with favor you'll encompass them as a shield. So wait a minute. I am righteous. And God, you're going to bless me. And it says, with your favor, you're going to encompass me as a shield, so every attack coming against me, God got my back. I started going to work, and I got up every morning. This fear, this anxiety would not get the best of me. I declare in the name of Jesus, going to be one of the best. I didn't even know really what I was doing, but I would. When you get desperate, you'll try stuff. I would not walk in here and question myself. I was working with MBAs from Notre Dame and Duke, and they were talking about all these great stuff they were doing. And And I'm sitting here from Tennessee. And they said, boy, where you from? I could tell from your speech. I'm talking country. I'm up here in the north. I'm feeling intimidated. The problem was not my job. The problem was me. So God began to work on my confidence, and I began to confess it. My confidence began to rise. They ranked us every year, and I began to rise in the ranks, and the job began to become easy to me. And they started to deem me as a subject matter expert in some areas. And it got to the point where Barbara and I were about to get married, and I said, it's time to go back to Tennessee. I don't even know if you should have did this or not. I went in my boss's office and said, I'm moving back to Tennessee. I'm getting ready to apply for a job. I probably should have applied first and told her later and just let her find out. I just said, listen, this is what I'm getting ready to do. Thank you. It's going great here. And she said, all right, I got you. Guess who wrote the recommendation letter to my boss in Tennessee? Guess who helped me get that job and get the interview? My boss. If I would have been condemned in my heart, I'd have never walked in there and asked for it. I'd have sat in my cubicle and withered up in lack of confidence. But I began to open my mouth and speak. Some of us sitting here right now, you are withering up because you won't open up your mouth and tell somebody what's going on with you. You won't speak with confidence. Even if you are insecure, just stop. Come here. Look at your wife. I am insecure right now. You intimidate me. I'm not really, but the truth. Some of us need to stop and admit you're afraid. No, man, we don't do that where I'm from. How's that working for me? You walking around cussing out cats and dogs, fish just jumping out of fish bowls because you walking around angry. Admit what's going on with you. I'm sizing myself up against other people. I feel overlooked. I feel less than. And God, this is not how you created me. I need you to help me. When you speak it and confess it, God fills you with his best. These kids about to drive me nuts. They're about to drive me crazy. Just say it. They already know it. And while all three of them in the room, they're looking at you like this. Just say, hey, guys, give me a minute. I'm overwhelmed right now. Say it. They already know it. You got to begin to confess out of your mouth. I'm going to tell you what's in my heart. We ain't got much room left, so you know what's going to have to come next. But God's going to send men to get saved into this house. Strong men. Men of God. God's going to send people from all walks of life. So I got to prepare for what God is about to do. I'm believing this year, be a best-selling author. I'm believing this year, people say, God going to cancel my debt. No, you ain't going to cheat nobody out of their money. No, you're going to pay them because somebody owe you money. You're going to pay them their money, and you're going to have enough left over. I'm believing God's going to pay off debt this year so that you can live in freedom. I believe in if you want to be promoted on your job, open it up and speak it. God, I've been working this job for a while. I'm ready for something different. And don't feel no kind of way about it. But you go ahead and declare. But do you know why many of us are afraid to say it? Because you don't want to look foolish after you say it. But once you get that word in your heart and speak it, the last thing is this, you got to do it. Talk while you walk. Could be real good at talking, but you got to talk it. And walk it. Doing is acting on the word from your heart. Romans 10, I ain't forgot about you, Danielle. It says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? It's Romans 10, 14. A little small on the screen, but it's in your Bible. And how will they hear without a preacher? Let me tell you something. You need a preacher. I'm not stating my case, but just like you need a doctor, you need a preacher. You need an accountant. You need people who are skilled in life. I pray every week, and I want you to pray for me or whoever's up here. May God give me the word so plain that it makes sense in your life, that your life changes because you begin to speak the word of God. You need somebody skilled in what they're doing to speak into your life. I know Satan is trying to diminish the church, and everybody, you follow me home, you'll find out I am not perfect. Barbara will tell you to wait 15 minutes because she got to clean up all my little socks in the house and my shoes and cups and stuff to get ready. I'm not perfect. No person is perfect. But when a person is gifted and called to do something, you let them do it in your life. Yeah. You let your wife be your wife. You let your husband be all their flaws and all. But if you will sow what they're supposed to be in your life, you will reap who they are in your life.
Yeah.
So how will they hear without a preacher? And how would he preach unless they be sent? You got to let God send the thing into your life. Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. Now, I don't know if that's literal. I probably need a manicure by right now. But when you're carrying something great, God will make your feet beautiful. That means the delivery. That makes sense. The delivery of what they're bringing makes sense. Because what good is it to have all the answers if nobody will ask you a question because you make people feel this big when you talk to them? The pretty feet means God's going to give you a great delivery even if the message is not pretty. You all right in here?
Yes.
Here's the next thing. Verse 16 says, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? You got to believe it when you hear it. Obedience is not going in the direction of what you feel. It's going in the direction of what God says. It's speaking in a direction and you're going in that same direction because you have good news. Somebody say, I have good news. And I'm going to follow it. I'm going to close it out with this. Daniel, this is where I saw you in my mind. The goal of the enemy is to keep us in our feelings, not speaking just directly to you, but in general, so we miss the move of God. And he wants us to move in what we feel and not in what we know. I want you to get a promise of God so strong in your heart that you lift it every day. I'm 40 years old, and I saw this day probably at 19 or 20. Be honest, I saw it at 16 in Forest Hill apartment complex when I was growing up in high school. When everybody would go out, I'd pull away sometimes and I'd go shoot basketball. And I thought it was to prepare me for college basketball. I ain't going to no college playing no basketball. I went on academic scholarship. And God would show me this day. It didn't happen until I was 32 is when I started pastoring. So probably 16 years of a faith process. But what moved me was that I saw the end goal. God gave me a promise of what he was going to do. Now, with that promise, he gave me a gift. I am normally shy. I'm just talking to you, not everybody else. I'm just talking to you. Normally, I'm withdrawn. I'm shy. It bothers me to get up in front of people because I'm wondering, what do they think? I'm breaking verbs. Are they looking at the way I'm dressing? All that stuff's going on in my mind. But God gave me a gift to communicate so that when I speak, I get to the heart of man. God gave you a gift to sing, but the gift of singing is just to promote the dream. Get the dream so planted in your heart that every day of your life, I'm not going to compromise my dream for nothing else. And the dream is what drives me. And the dream will cause you to ignore a whole lot of stuff that could stop you. But because the dream is so, that same dream I had when I was cleaning houses for construction, I was stacking sheetrock and I was burning wood and taking carpet and putting it outside. And I was dreaming. I said, you know what? Instead of me getting miserable and complaining about this job, I'm going to act like this is my house. I drive up to that house and act like I was working on my own house. When you're working and it's not what you want to do, pull something from it that is going to be tangible, that's going to be a transfer to something else that you do. Here's what God wants to do in this season. He wants you to get the promise so strong in your mind that you're not moved by what you see or what you feel. I'll work something I don't like until it turns into what I do like. And I'm going to work this faith muscle every single day of my life. I'm going to tell you a story. Can I sit down and talk to you? There were some lepers in the Bible. They can pull up on the screen if they want to. There was 10 of them. And they heard that Jesus was coming into the city, right? Let me tell you about lepers in that day. We're going to go to Sunday school. Lepers, it was such a bad disease. It was almost like what AIDS is to this day. Nothing that wasn't curable, but it caused their skin to go in such a way they had to go outside the city. But these men were ostracized. They were set aside. They had issues, but they heard Jesus. First step of faith, they got to hear it. And when Jesus came into the city, they said, God, have mercy on us. They had to verbalize it because they believed that he had the answer. They went to the man with the plan, not the person who was talking about the problems. You got to go to the person who has the answer. And they went to him, and there's a scripture in Luke 17 and 14. Can you look on that screen? Look up. Everybody look at that screen. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Stop right there. Can I get a quick Bible lesson? The lepers couldn't go to the priest unless they were cleansed. You couldn't go there dirty. That's how people feel like they got to come to church. They feel like everything's got to be perfect in their life before they come to church. They feel like before I can walk out my dreams, I got to finish this. I got to do this. Everything's got to be perfect. My credit score's got to be in there. Everything may not be perfect as long as your heart is and the word is in your heart. He said, and as they were going, they were healed. They weren't healed before they went. They were healed on their way. Can I tell you that some of you are waiting for perfect conditions and God's waiting on you to follow his word? The Bible says, as they went. I ain't perfect. My confidence ain't there. I question myself. That's why you see me walking around here jittery, because I'm trying to get it together. I can't believe y'all still showing up every week. But the more I keep preaching, the more they keep coming. And I'm going to keep preaching until what this place looks like exactly. I'm just talking to you what God wants it to look like. Every single last person in here, I don't care what your life looks like right now. If you get it here, you get it here. You speak it here, and you keep going in that direction. I don't care your issues. God knows you got issues. He knew you had issues before you start talking to him. And the more you move in the direction of your dream, you've talked yourself out of more stuff that God wants to talk you into. Have you ever thought about this? If I'm so bad and I'm so messed up, why is it still here? You ever thought about that? If I'm just so corrupt, if I'm such a bad person and I screw up everything, why do I still got this dream here? You got that dream there because God wants you to believe this thing more than you believe your issues. And as you go towards the direction of your dream, I forget every Sunday I'm nervous. I forget every Sunday until I sit down. I wonder what they think. While you're doing it, those of you who believe in God for healing, don't get up, Lord Jesus, my hip today. Oh, hip, you still there? We're going to use you. We're going to have surgery or God going to heal you. But I got something to do. You speak to your body. I'm serious. And you go in the direction that God is speaking to you. Faith comes by hearing, believing, speaking, doing. Stand to your feet. You got that, Danielle?